try to keep my voice going so I can sing for Marshall in a little bit. Sing for God. Amen. Grace and peace, friends in Christ, from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, in the early years of school, all kids learn certain things about words and language, like nouns are words that label persons and places and things, and verbs, those are the action words, right? Later on, you find about adjectives and adverbs and prepositions, and I don't think I even remember exactly what a participle is, except that you're not supposed to leave it dangling. For a while in my school years, I had trouble with English class. I didn't understand why we needed to take English. I thought, we speak English. Why do we need to learn what we already know? And I didn't think it was important to know the difference between past and present tense or first or second person. And then we had to do this thing called diagramming sentences. You remember that? Each word got its own place on the diagram, with some words going up and down the chart. And maybe it's because I'm a visual learner, but this helped me actually make sense of things. Nouns on the left, verbs on the right, prepositional phrases on a funny little tail hook at the end. And after a while, I really started to appreciate language. I liked how the words fit together to make a point or to join ideas in ways that heightened similarities. I began to see how words could express power and influence and even gentle emotions. I began to listen to people like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who could string words together like poetry, but develop ideas and drive home an argument like an attorney on steroids. He could say things like, "I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. That is why right, temporarily defeated, is stronger than evil triumphant." And also, let us seek not to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. And then there's the likes of Malala Yousafzai. She's the Pakistani girl who suffered a gunshot wound to the head at the hands of extremists who would prevent girls from going to school. Malala said, "Extremists have shown what frightens them most, a girl with a book." You see, words are powerful, aren't they? Words arranged in creative, provocative ways can lift us up or shatter our perception of reality. And while they can be put together in complex ways, sometimes the simple ways carry the most meaning. Jesus knew the power of words, at least those who wrote about him did. Here at the beginning of his revolutionary work, Jesus' words are simple, but life-changing. He doesn't speak to them from a stage or by using a microphone. He hasn't gathered people together with the promise of wisdom and clarity. He's walking on the beach near the place where he's relocated recently, setting up a new home and a new job. Apparently, the message that John the Baptist preached made a difference for Jesus. It must have sparked a fire in his soul because he starts to share that very same message. He takes over John's work after John has been arrested and thrown in prison. But Jesus does things a little differently than John. While John preferred to work solo, Jesus, well, he figures he probably needs a little help. Jesus isn't going into the wilderness. He's not into that kind of thing so much. He must have had enough of that over those 40 days out there with the devil. And he's not going for that camel's hair garment and diet of locust thing either. So Jesus decides that he's going to have some help with this endeavor. And it's his words that attract people to come along on the journey with him. Follow me. Jesus calls out to fishermen who are working the nets around the boats on the shore of Galilee. Follow me. Those are his attention-getting words. That's how he gets them to listen to him in the first place. Simon and Andrew are the first. Who knows what's going on in their lives? Fishing probably wasn't a luxury sport for these two. Fishing was a way to keep a family going day to day. But with the imperial occupation and all, whatever joy and fulfillment a day's work might bring was most likely sucked away for the taxes and the obligations of the owners of the boats certainly demanded a stiff toll. And so Jesus' call may have been just what they were looking for, a call to something else, something other than fishing, something that reeled in meaning and purpose, if not a little divergence from the monotony of the day. Follow me, Jesus calls to these two fishers. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And there it is. Those are the words that changed the course of the world. With that beautifully crafted imperative, Jesus sets in motion one of the greatest transformations in history. And there's no indication that Jesus even thought about it much before he said it, but more than likely let the words flow out of his brain over his lips as naturally as rainwater off a blade of grass. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Now, I know you remember those words a little bit differently. You learned them from an earlier version of the Bible. I wrote to you about this in my email earlier this week. When you were younger, you heard Jesus say, "I will make you fishers of men." And there's nothing wrong with that. It basically conveys the same message. But Jesus, of course, didn't speak English. So I suppose a Greek scholar could give us the precise translation, but I think we can trust that the Holy Spirit is doing the work necessary to give us what we need. I think it's interesting how the words that we have, as we have them in the newest translation, take the word fish and turn it into a verb rather than a noun. Do you notice that? In the older version, "I will make you fishers," or "fisher people of men." Fishers are nouns, right? A direct object in this case. And in the newer version, Jesus says, "I will make you fish." Or you could say, "I will cause you to fish," is what Jesus says there. And to fish is clearly an action. Something that is to be done either once or more than likely over and over again. To fish is a verb. Now again, maybe this doesn't make much difference, but I really think that Jesus is more interested in what we do than who we are. At least if who we are is just a label or a title. Imagine if you went to the doctor and the doctor said, "Yes, I am a doctor. That paper on the wall says so. I just printed it today and put it into a frame." That's not how things work. You don't get to claim the title and then that's just who you are. Or what if I put on a football uniform and went out on the field with the Grizz or the Wildcats? I'd be destroyed. I'd be dead. You can't just call yourself something. Something somebody else can't decide that you are now whatever they want you to be. You become the thing by doing the work, learning the trade, practicing the skills, right? And that's what Jesus is calling these would-be disciples to become. Not fisher people, but people who fish. men and women who do the work of discipling, who learn the ways of Jesus that will eventually move through their actions and through their words to transform the lives of people, to change the world for good. And the same goes for us. We are not called to be nouns sitting here in our seats, inactive, unmoving. Rather, Jesus calls us to leave our boats and follow him into this work of salvation, into this behavior of blessing for the sake of those who are suffering. Jesus has a job to do, and he's decided he's not going to do it alone. When we began to learn the parts of speech way back in school, it was fun at first to learn about the nouns. They're the things that fill up our world. We even imagined what thing we might want to be when we grew up someday. But eventually we discovered that what we really looked forward to wasn't what we would be, but what we would do. Jesus doesn't need us to be fishers in name only. Jesus needs us to be those who fish for people, those who will spread our nets of compassion and generosity over those who are suffering, those who will cast a line in order to hook one who is lost or forgotten, those who will sail into the dark waters of our world and gather up the fish of the deep, not to destroy and consume and waste, but to save for the glory of God, that all might swim in the waters of grace. May the words of the Holy Spirit moving in us set our hearts and our hands to the wonder of God's actions through us today and always.